Today is the Lord's Day, and we'll rejoice and be glad in that, because He has got us, He has shown us something that I want to get to going on. Father, we thank You. This is Your time and Your people. We have ears to hear. We have spirits to listen. We have brains to think. We have mouths to speak. And Father, You gave it all to us. You've made it all possible. And I am honored to stand up here and to speak Your words, Your thoughts. It gives me pleasure, Father. And You excited me this morning about what You showed me. And I thank You, Father, for Your love and care for each one of us. And we listen with open ears and open hearts. In Jesus' precious name, we thank You. Amen. The power of praise and worship. The giving of thanks is an integral part of a Christian life. We give thanks before we eat, before we start a job, for a beautiful day, and the many friends that we have. Thanksgiving is just a natural outpouring from a grateful heart. We thank each other for small favors, the gift of love. I thank Marie for who she is and what she does. I thank my children for who they are and what they've accomplished. I thank God for all these things. This is not a heavy thing to do. It comes quite naturally because we are taught from childhood to be polite, to thank someone when they give us something to eat, when they give us something like candy, when you're a child. Or somebody gives you a compliment, you got to say, thank you, ma'am, or thank you, sir. We are taught to be thankful. Now I'm going to ask you something. How often do we thank our Heavenly Father for all that He provides for us each day? When you think about it, a lot of things we take for granted. We take an awful lot for granted. It's just natural that this happens, that this happens, that, you know, just it's just part of life. No, everything comes from God. I'm not just pointing a finger at you or me. I'm not just pointing a finger at you because I got three of them pointing right back at me, remember? So it's not too good. I'm included in the discussion, and many times I should have been a little quicker on the act of thanksgiving. Sometimes I forget to ask, to tell people thank you for certain little things. I mean, even a person at a store, a guy that helps you, or the cashier, or something, you say thank you. You know, and it comes very natural. And say, have a nice day, have a pleasant day, have a God-given day. Or sometimes I just say, God bless you. Giving thanks is a small form of worship. It's because you're thinking about Him. And you're communicating with Him your thoughts. This pleases Him, and He will always honor your words of appreciation. It amazes me at the end of a day, and I reminisce over the day's events, that I realize what God did for me for that whole day. Me and I would sometimes lie in bed, and we'd just sit there, and we'd say, praise God, you know, that was a good day today. That was good. This is good. That was good. This is fun. That was good. Well, that wasn't so good there. Well, yeah, but He was there. He was there. Then I humbly ask God for forgiveness for taking Him for granted. He forgives me, and I can sleep peacefully, safe and secure from all alarms, is the way the song goes. We should be more eager to give our Lord thanks for all that we are and all that we receive. We must remember that giving of thanks is for the things He has done for us, and praise is all about His character. Thanks is for the things that He does. Praise is for His character. And worship is for who He is. We'll get to that later on. Worship also is coming into His holy presence. Usually, thanks are given in silence and in the privacy of your mind. Praises, on the other hand, is supposed to be public and vocal. Much of our praise is in the congregation. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we read, "In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Think about that one. This is given in the presence of other believers. The word "in" does not say for everything, but denotes that we have give thanks in the midst of any situation. So now, I want to explain something here. When we give thanks, and you think about it, in everything, and people say, well, wait a minute, I'm in sickness. I'm in distress. I'm in debt. I don't have any money. How can I be thankful for being in everything? Remember one thing. Remember when you're doing that, that he is in the midst of that problem right now. You think he leaves you or forsakes you? He's in right in the middle of everything that goes on in your life, even though you don't even recognize the fact that he's there. We've got to be more cognizant of the fact that Jesus is right in the middle of every one of your problems. He's waiting for you to say, "Lord, help me. And I thank you for being here." Right in the middle of everything that's going down. He's in the midst of it. There is a lady across the street. Some of you folks have already prayed for her. I've told you about her. Her name is Marlis. And she's having a difficult time with cancer. Other things that are going on in her life. And it's a hardship case. It's tough to listen to. It's tough to be in the condition that she's in. She's going for radiation therapy. And I told her one night when we were sitting talking, I said, "You know, Marlis, you got to thank him for all these things." And boy, she says, "For all things? I can't thank him for the sickness that I have or the disease that I have." And I thought about that and I thought, I've got to get an answer for her. And little Marie, she says, "It says in here that it says, he's in the midst of all troubles, tribulations, and problems. He's right there." So, when you think about how these things operate, how Jesus operates in your life, it is so important, folks. It's so important that you just think about that he is there at all times. Okay, if God says that he knows exactly what's going on in your life, and he knows your thoughts before you even speak them, where is he? How does he know? Through his Spirit. His Spirit is in you. And like I told you before, the Spirit, your spirit knows more than your head. Remember? Well, how does that happen? It's because God is in communication with your spirit at all times, and your spirit is in communication with him at all times, because the Holy Spirit is in you at all times. So if he's in there all the time, it would be better for you to consult your spirit before you consult your brain. It's an interesting thought. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? But it's true. It's right there. Okay, let's move on. When we give thanks in the midst of a disease by quoting, "By his stripes I am healed," Exodus 15:26, you can thank him for that statement. "I am the God that healeth thee." In other words, we give thanks to God for answers to Satan's attacks. Now, this is the beautiful part. When God has given you a little word of scriptures, and you say, "God is the one that heals me. In all my ways I will acknowledge him, and he will direct my paths. He is my healer, he's my comforter, and by his stripes I am healed." What does it do to the devil? It shuts him up. He doesn't have any answer. He can't come back at you. Giving thanks to God is an expression of fullness in the Holy Spirit. Let's read Ephesians 5:17-20. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now it's for everything. I remember one time I spoke in another church and somebody came up to me and says, "It isn't for everything, it's in everything." And I says, well, I says, read Ephesians 5, 17 through 20. I says, you'll find it. And this gentleman finally came and said, okay, yeah, I see it. But it is for everything and in everything. Because God sets things up in your life to better you. No matter what it is, He is bettering you. He's making you stronger, healthier, faithful. He's doing everything He can to make your life complete according to His will. We've got to be very careful of how we go about cursing the darkness without lighting the candle. Giving thanks before your petition is a good way of remembering what He has done for you in the past. And it'll increase your faith in this way. Remember also, now this is something else that came up. I didn't realize this, but remember that Jesus gave thanks before He broke bread and fed over 5,000 people. 5,000 people. And you don't, and there's no mention of His prayer. There was no long, mighty prayer about, oh God, do this, and oh God, do that. Oh Father, we need You to do this. He just gave a blessing to the food. He thanked God for it and fed 5,000 people with a couple of loaves and fishes. Giving thanks. Well, how about when God, when He gave thanks to God for hearing Him when He raised Lazarus from the dead? I thank You, Father, that You hear me. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Out He came. No big prayer. He was in communication with God all the time, in the Spirit. You know, giving thanks is a good way to start your day, eh? Full of faith. Just full of faith. Ready to go. Okay. Now let's move on. Let's move on to a more personal relationship with God. Through the giving of praise, and a personal relationship cannot be obtained without praise. Without praise, there is nothing that you can really substitute. Praise is for who He is, for what He's doing. He's in your life. And also, praise is a vocal thing. It's not a little whispered prayer. It's a vocal thing. I walked around that house today. Marie went shopping. I was sitting there and I was going through this lesson. And I suddenly realized that I hadn't given God praise in the morning. And I walked around that house. I prayed in the Spirit. And I was shouting and giving God glory. I said, praise You, Father. This is going to be the greatest evening in the world. I'm going to enjoy this because it's Your word and I can speak it forth. And that's exactly what I want to do. First, the giving of praise must be vocal in telling someone of what the Lord is giving you or has done for you. You can sing it in praise. We do that in our church. We lift hands to the glory of God. Praise the Lord is a phrase that comes from the Hebrew transliteration of hallelujah. And this, I always get a kick out of every Easter and Christmas. I really get a kick out of this. You'll see people flooding into the Betcher Concert Hall, and they might be atheists. There could be anybody in there. But they all sing hallelujah, and they don't even know that they're praising the Lord. But thank God, you know, if that's what they want to do, that's it gives God glory. Jesus said to some of his disciples, He says, if they are talking about Me, no matter what the manner is, let them talk. It's helping ours. It's helping. It's talking to, they're talking about the Father. Let them talk. If the word is going out, let them talk. So if the people on Christmas and Eve and Easter, they want to stand up there and sing hallelujah chorus, sing it a dozen times. It doesn't bother me one bit. It's a good thing to hear. They're praising My God. The word halal means to be boastful, excited, and to enjoy. As much as the fans do at the sports arena, I guess, when they're watching the football game or a hockey game, basketball, they can really shout and get really boastful, don't they? They just full of screaming, yelling, shouting, and they're just so happy that their team is winning. And Yah is shortened from Yahweh, translated by the King James Bible as Jehovah. Now we're going to read something. We're going to read the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I was going to just read a few small passages here, but it bears repeating through the whole thing. And it's about a guy by the name of Jehoshaphat. He got the nickname Jumpin' because of his readiness to fill the Lord's will. Okay? So Jumpin' Jehoshaphat did a few things here that were pleasing to the Lord. Okay, we start off in chapter 20. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A very vast army is coming against you from Edom and from the other side of the sea. It is already at Hazazon Tamar," that is En-Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah, the whole country, the whole state of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to be the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built it in the sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in your distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, those whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us for coming and by coming to drive us out of our possession that you have given us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking you, that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." You know, this prayer could be said by the leaders of our government right now in Washington. "Our eyes are upon you, Father. Show us what to do." Because right now, there's turmoil. It's not good what's going on. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Picture that. Every child, every baby that was carried in arms, the little children standing there. The whole assembly, the whole nation of Judah. Then the Spirit of the Lord, there you are, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King of Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." There we are. There's another answer for us. Tomorrow, march against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Has he changed? Has he changed anything? Has he ever, whatever he's promised, he said that he's going to be with us no matter what. So why aren't we with him? Why isn't this country with him? If he delivers Israel, you think he can deliver this country? Absolutely. Or the state from the corruption that we have in our governments? Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Praise with a loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah, and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out and at the head of the army, singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." I can just see an army right now, today, going into battle, and they have got dancers and singers with the tambourines and everything else, and just dancing and having up a, kicking up a storm, and dancing before the Lord, and then the army is behind them. Usually they send out the tanks first. These guys are better than tanks. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped destroy one another. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I could just see this going on. This could blow anybody away. We don't have to fight. When the men of Judah came to the place that was overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. They talk about David and his battle with Goliath. He had to use a sling and a stone. He defeated three armies. Didn't have to lift a finger. This is a better story than anything in the Bible. I read this thing and I thought, gee, many crickets, this is great. These guys didn't have to do anything. All they had to do was just sing and dance and play. Oh, boy. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. Yeah, that sounds good. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Berakah, where they praised the Lord. That is why it's called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Amazing. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? It's a story of success. It's a story of victory. It's a story that we should be all carrying in our hearts, that we are victorious no matter where we walk. I've said many times to people that with the Holy Spirit being in you, where you stand is holy ground. It has to be. If the Lord is in you, it's holy ground. The words that come out of your mouth are supposed to be holy. The acts that you do should be holy unto the Lord. They should bring glory to Him. It's amazing what happens in this country. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them a cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. The fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Total victory. Not just in the battlefield, but total victory. Peace in the land. You can get excited about this, because what he has given us is more than we even can dream up of. The people in this country have got to wake up. They've got to use the strength and the power that God has given them, the authority that they have over the enemy. I'm talking about the devil. You've got to use your authority, folks. If he's trying to keep you down, start giving him some scriptures to think about. He'll flee. He'll run. You can see what the Lord can do with people that will be obedient. Nothing is too big for our God. The enemy of Israel completely self-destructed. There were many words in Hebrew to explain how a praise is acted out. To give a short explanation here, I want to give you some definitions. Barak means to bless. Zamar is a musical term, like in Psalm 92:1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. We've sung that song here. The word zamar means to touch the strings, play music. Shabbat means to shout loudly in triumph and glory. This action makes the devil shut up. I love that part. I love that. Tauda is the distinct connotation of sacrifice of praise. Tahila means to sing our praise of unrehearsed songs as singing in the spirit. You will probably notice that all these verbs are the vocal kind, public, and excited. We will study the worship portion later. As you can see, there's a lot that we need to know about praise and worship. My eyes have been opened to a great extent since I read Terry Law's book, The Power of Praise and Worship. This clearly shows us how much we have lost through the years in denominational churches. Okay, I know of one church that Bill and I know about. Is the Church of Christ. They don't have a musical instrument. Well, that's okay. Those people are singers. That's good. But the only musical instrument that they have in there is what they call a tuner. And the guy blows a note. And away you go. That's all you sing. No piano, no instruments. This is good. But they say that the only reason that they do that, and I went to a church in San Francisco with a friend of mine. He was my boss at the time. And Paul and I went into this church, and I was amazed that these people sang, but there was no music. I said, what's going on, you know? They don't have a piano? Did the piano break down, or they don't have a piano player? I didn't know. He told me, he said, no, we don't have musical instruments. I said, well, why not? And he says, well, there's not a musical instrument mentioned in the New Testament. Okay. And I says, well, how did Jesus sing according with the instruments in the temple? He says, I don't know. I said, well, of course he did. They were playing instruments in the temple until the temple was ripped, the veil was ripped, and then, of course, everything went bananas for those people. But they still played instruments, and they still worshiped God in their own way. But Jesus did. I can't imagine going to a wedding without music. And I'm sure Jesus was there at the wedding in Cana, where he turned water into wine from water. We get so many crazy ideas, and then they bring actual wine into the church. Can't do that. But they'll take communion with wine juice. Okay, grape juice. That's fine. But you know, it's when you have that much fear of doing something wrong, where's your freedom? Where are you free? The truth will set you free. Well, how does it set you free if you're going to be bound in all kinds of little man-made ideas? These man-made laws that we have are just sometimes absolutely ridiculous. And I think the Lord must be thinking, what's the matter with these people? Okay. But he'll let them go. He'll give them their choice. They have a freedom of choice. And if you want to join that kind of a church, you have that freedom. If you so much as uttered a loud amen in a Baptist church, I wonder what they do to you. There's all kinds of little rules and regulations that people will follow in a church because it's denominational. Isms and dogmas and doctrines and you name it. What did they come up with next? Aren't we ready to give God Almighty our due, His due? Aren't we ready to pay Him in praise, thanksgiving, worship? Letting Him free in our lives? Or are we afraid of what the other visitors will think or offend a softer Christian? There's not a version in the scriptures for that. It will take some time to get used to the idea of vocally praising God. Some of us will do. It'll be difficult. I know a few people that don't really raise their arms or shout hallelujah or loud, but that's okay. They will. They'll praise God. They will praise God. It took me a while to raise my hands in the church. I got him up to here one time. Up to my belt. Yep, yep. That was enough. And then I saw the people waving their arms and they're standing and singing them. I said, well, I don't know if I could do that. Then my arms got up to around my elbows, a little over my elbows. And then they got up to my shoulders. And I think it took about another 2 or 3 weeks of that. My hands went above my head. I know. I'm a brash sort of a guy, and I do things on the spur of the moment, but that was not a spur of the moment thing for me. And then I wanted that language. I wanted that spiritual language that God was going to give me. I knew it was there. I came close to it a few times. Bill Franz and I had an experience with that at a man's house, and it was quite a day. It was quite a lunchtime. We were there for about a couple hours, and it was a very interesting day. Very interesting day. Bill and I came away from there, and I know that he was praying over Bill, and I was standing beside the minister. And this guy says, and he was praying in tongues and something. I don't know what he was doing. And I was standing there like with my hands up on there, and I was out of them, and I was mumbling away. And he just touched me lightly on my stomach, just like that, very lightly. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," just like that. That's all he did. And I flew back. It was about 3 or 4 feet off the ground. I flew back and I landed in this rocking chair. And I'm rocking back. I'm rocking back and forth. And I'm wondering what's going on. You know, right now my head is, and then. Mrs. Greer, she came up and she sat and she prayed with me. She says, "You've received the Holy Spirit." I said, "Okay, fine." And he prayed for Bill and everything was fine. We walked away from there and I was about 2 feet off the ground. I don't know if my feet touched the ground by the time we reached the car. But it was an amazing feeling. Yep, I didn't speak in tongues. I still wasn't speaking in tongues. That came after. But he did give me a couple words. And from then on, you know the rest of the story there. I'll go on here. I could take all day on that. I can get excited about that and I can talk a long time. But it was much easier after I could get my hands up in the air and praise God. Much easier. And I had a little more enthusiasm in my prayer. A little more enthusiasm in my excitement about the Lord and praising and worshiping Him. When I got to the end of this section of what I was reading here and what I've given you, I had a few questions as to how God inhabits the praise of His people. Psalm of David, 22, verse 3, King James. "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." He inhabits the praises of Israel at that time. Now, get a load of that, kids. He inhabits the praises of the whole nation of Israel. Would he do anything less for this state, for this nation of America? I think he would get excited if the whole nation did it. I'll tell you, there would be some exciting things happening. This means to me that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in each of God's children is how He dwells in our praise. As we praise Him, He enjoys our obedience. When our children do what we ask them to do, we are pleased. We're joyful at their obedience. We get excited. Our Father is just as pleased with our obedience. Another question that I had was, how do I turn the Holy Spirit loose within me? The answer is that you do it by faith. It comes with faith. Without faith, works are dead. Without works, your faith is dead. You know that old argument. That is quite what it all amounts to. As you experience more and more of the Holy Spirit, your faith increases in the Holy Spirit and God. It's an automatic thing. They go hand in hand. They work together. Your faith, you turn your faith loose, and the Holy Spirit works. He wants to work. Now remember, the Holy Spirit is there to guide you and direct you at all times, every moment. He wants to see your faith grow. God wants to see your faith grow. Father gave it to you through His Word. Remember, the Holy Spirit wants to be in you and all that you do. And the more He is involved in everyday life, the more abundant your life will be. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore He saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. That is nice. Awake. Arise. Arise from the dead, from your dead thinking, and Christ shall give thee light. Okay. I'd like to close with Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, thank you. I pray that what I have said, what I have spoken, will give light to others too. To those that walk with a little faith, I ask that you exercise it. Show them, Father, that how they can grow with faith and trusting you. And the Holy Spirit is ready to work in them. It is such an amazing thing that you have set forth, Father. And there is so much more to talk about this. And I ask that you would give me the opportunity to speak on this subject a little more deeper, with a little more of the way that you do in other people's lives and what you have done. There is so much, Father. And we receive it with open arms and open ears and open hearts. Our minds are at rest. Our hearts are at peace. But the enjoyment and the excitement is still in our hearts. And we thank you, Father, for this evening. We thank you for the blessing that you've given us. We thank you, Father, that you have given us so much and we know so little. Continue to work in us. Continue to teach. And we will praise you and give you glory in all our ways and all our walk. All in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.